Do you hate Osama bin Laden? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you knock out my eye, I can knock out your eye too. I'm really glad I did not grow up in a family where that philosophy of life was encouraged, because with my temper, I would probably have ended up eyeless and toothless, I'm pretty sure. This is heroic. Humanly speaking, we're not capable of this kind of love. It's an invitation to be lifted up into the realm of faith and prayer and the supernatural, because naturally speaking, we will be wishing that he break a leg and die and go to hell and get out of our life. We can't stand the dirty you know what. And maybe you've called him by that name too. It's really hard to forgive. I've seen a lot of non-forgiveness in my life. Wish I could take you to a couple tombstones in western Pennsylvania. I'm sure you will not find these in West Virginia, only Pennsylvania. Like in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, if you know that fair city. The pastor pointed it out to me. A tombstone, name and dates, and the epitaph, victim of a doctor's negligence. The parents who put that epitaph on there blamed the doctor for the death of their child. And to perpetuate their hatred for a lifetime, that's what they had cut into Vermont granite for keeps for until Judgment Day. Latrobe, Pennsylvania, St. Vincent's Archabbey Parish Cemetery. There's a tombstone there too. Name and dates. I have a Polaroid shot of that one. Died at the hands of three cowardly doctors. There was a big snowstorm, 3 feet, many years ago, around 1930. And because the little one didn't get the medication that she needed, she died. And so the parents proceeded to blame the doctors. Nobody would venture out. Died at the hands of three cowardly doctors. I've seen some beautiful forgiveness, though, in my life. But I can't forget that non-forgiveness. Like the one in Coylesville, Pennsylvania, 10 miles east of Butler, 5 miles east of Herman, Pennsylvania. An old man buried right next to the church, 82 years of age. His name and his dates and his epitaph. Abandoned by wife and children in his old age. May God be more understanding and merciful. The pastor, I had just returned from Papua New Guinea, where I was a missionary for 14 years, and he asked me what I would suggest he do about this. Of course, I didn't know this culture anymore at all. He was thinking about going to see the bishop to have that erased. I pleaded with him not to do that, because that would just be another court case for the bishop, and he's had enough of them. And maybe reading that epitaph might sensitize the consciences of some people who must learn to forgive. But it's tough. But I've seen some beautiful forgiveness too in my life. Like Missy Sarsfield from Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, right near the Greater Pittsburgh Airport. There was a strike called on the turnpike, the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And some of these trucks were trying to break the strike, and the people who were sympathetic to the strike had these stones, and they were throwing them down over a hill to strike the trucks that were traveling along the turnpike so that they might collapse. One of those stones misfired and hit the Sarsfield family car. Little Missy Sarsfield, only 14 years of age, freshman in high school, hovered between life and death for many days, and she ended up with plastic surgery on her face and just partial vision in her eye. Well, I met her several months later at the mother house of the Sisters of St. Joseph in Baden, Pennsylvania. And I sidled up to her and I said, Missy, very quietly, I hope prudently, Missy, have you been able to forgive the kid who threw the stone. Do you know what she said? Father, I pray for him every night. That's class. That's in a class with Jesus Christ. Only God could forgive like that. Yes, God always forgives if we're sorry. If we have that firm purpose of amendment, that contrition that looks to the future, meaning with God's help, I will not commit that sin again. That's the sign of forgiveness. God always forgives if we're sorry. Man sometimes forgives. Nature never forgives. If you try to suppress your guilt down into the subconscious or the unconscious or somewhere on the fringe of consciousness, sooner or later that guilt will assert itself in some bizarre form of behavior or other. Guilt will always out, always, no exceptions. The greatest psychiatrist of the last century, maybe you know him, an interesting man, he made the observation. And he came to faith before his death in his native Switzerland in 1961. He said he treated thousands and thousands of patients with mental, emotional, and psychological disorders. But he said in all the years of his practice and teaching, he could remember only treating 5 or 6 believing Catholics. And he attributed the whole thing to the sacrament of penance, the rite of reconciliation. What a grace that sacrament is. Maybe that's the atmosphere in which you and I will learn to forgive, because we will not be forgiven unless we in turn are willing to forgive those who have injured us. And don't go to confession anymore unless you're willing to forgive. Don't pray the Our Father anymore, because you're actually indicting yourself when you pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us." I hope you choke praying to Our Father, unless you're willing at least to try to forgive. And the sign that you're forgiven, right in the scriptures, your willingness to pray for the person who has hurt you. I beg you to do that, even though you may not feel like praying for that person, but that's what the Lord wants. And if you should see that person, show him the common signs of friendship, which is a greeting and or the return of a greeting. We must do that. And you can do it sincerely if you prayed for them. Remember those levels of response to people, the social? Beneath that, the emotional, where the feelings are. Beneath that, though, is the soul level and the will, where we make our choices, either to pray for that person or to curse that person. If I choose to pray for that person, I can honestly greet them socially without being hypocritical or phony about my greeting. The biggest mistake most people make in this country right now is to think that that middle area where the feelings are is their deepest level. If my emotional level were my deepest level, I would either be in prison or in hell. I have no doubt about it. I must learn to forgive. But can you forgive anybody who's really not sorry? Can God forgive anybody who's not really sorry? No, he can't. They're indisposed for forgiveness. But I think we have to be like our Lord on the cross. Do you know what he was doing as he was nailed to the cross through the hands? Read the scriptures closely. And the nail went right here at the crease of the thumb, going at a 15-degree angle, most likely coming out in the wrist area. But to get through there, he had to split the median nerve, the most sensitive nerve in the human body. That's the nerve that controls the sensation and feeling in the fingertips and then between the fingers. And when that nerve is injured, it gives off a pain which is greater than any amount of childbirth for a woman. Kidney stones, sciatica, rheumatism, arthritis, earache, toothache, and all of those put together. The pain is described in the medical journals as exquisite pain, the strongest term for pain there is. Used to be the strongest term for pain was excruciating. Excruciate means from the cross. Now it's exquisite. And what he was doing as he was nailed through that median nerve, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He must have been God to pray that way through such a pain. But that's what he did. We have to learn to forgive. Maybe the focus on the crucified is the only one that can help us to do that. And maybe even to excuse those people who crucified him out of such hatred. Even not to seek vengeance, to get even with him. Oh, no. No. He says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But he always is working to try to motivate them to forgive. And in married life, too. The perfect marriage, they tell me, is where he knows what to remember and she knows what to forget. Some women have great memories, and fellows, don't ever challenge a woman's memory. And don't be like that little old lady that the pastor failed to invite to his lawn party. And right at the end, he got her on the phone to invite her to his lawn party. And she answered, oh, pastor, it's too late. I've already prayed for rain. And we're all built that way. But you are permitted to defend yourself in all justice. If you catch somebody immorally with your spouse, you can stop him from doing that. But it's the moderation of legitimate self-defense, it's called. In other words, if you can stop him from doing that with a bullet through his buttocks, don't put the bullet through his heart. Sometimes it's pretty hard to make that distinction, though. If somebody ever calls you impossible, like your spouse, just remind them, then you're next to impossible. So I want you to pray with me now, very gently. I forgive my mother and father for not being perfect, for neglecting me because of their own problems, for not loving me enough. I forgive my brothers and sisters for all the competition, for not helping me when I needed it, for not loving me enough. I forgive my spouse for unreal expectations, for taking me for granted, for not loving me enough. I forgive my son and daughter for not being exactly like me, for learning the hard way, for not loving me enough. I forgive myself for my selfishness, for the stupid things I did in the past, for not loving me enough. I forgive God for not making me perfect, for not making everyone just like me, for giving me a free will which I often abuse. I forgive anyone who may have physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, financially, or sexually hurt me. I ask God to forgive me as much as I forgive others. And I promise God to try to live faithfully and to create a community of loving people.